Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to the deep dive.
Great to be here.
So today we're looking at a whole stack of sources really focused on company culture, and we're diving into this transcript, The Culture Cultivator. Our mission really is to figure out why culture is seen as just, well, unbelievably crucial. Like, how does it actually shape teams?
And why is it such a powerful thing for getting goals met? Because, what we pulled out isn't just that culture is nice. It's about how it actively shapes behavior.
Exactly. And you hear that phrase all the time, right? Cold treat strategy for
Yeah,
breakfast.
it's everywhere.
But what this deep dive really gets into is that it's not just some catchy phrase. It's recognizing that a team with a really embedded, aligned culture, they'll figure out how to win.
They'll find a way, often better than a team that just gets like the perfect strategic plan handed to them, but doesn't have that underlying connection.
That shared drive.
Yeah, they have the drive because of the culture.
Which totally flips the script when you think about building a team, doesn't it?
If
It shifts things from just finding, the person with the flashiest resume
right, the best skills on paper.
to finding someone who actually fits the culture, someone you can then train up. The sources really argue that training the right person works better than trying to force the right skills into the right culture.
Yeah, that makes sense. Think about that story. There's a version here about Sir Christopher Wren, right? And the three workmen laying bricks.
Oh, yeah, the cathedral builders.
Exactly. So he asks the first guy, "What are you doing?" And the answer is just, laying bricks, feeding my family, purely transactional.
Right. Then the second guy says, "I'm building a cathedral." Sees the bigger picture, at least.
But the third one, the one working with real intensity, he says, "I'm building the house of God."
Wow.
And yes, that's purpose, but it's also about how culture can instill that deeper why. Knowing the real reason behind the task, it just changes the effort, the impact, compared to just knowing the task itself.
So this deep dive is really exploring the practical ways companies actually do that,
Yeah.
how they cultivate that kind of internal drive.
Sometimes in pretty surprising ways.
Okay, so let's maybe jump into some of those real-world examples the sources brought up, things that show this culture thing in action, and then we can get into the techniques.
Sounds good. Well, look at Team GB Hockey. The sources mentioned them bringing back Krista Cullen. She hadn't played top-level hockey for 2 years.
Few years. Really? Why?
Specifically for her team ethos, her role modeling. It wasn't about her skill level right then. It was about the positive behavioral influence she had, demonstrating commitment.
That's a big statement. And then the All Blacks, the rugby team, legendary culture there.
Oh, yeah. And their culture gets boiled down into these really clear, actionable ideas, like no dickheads.
Haha, yeah, blunt but effective, I guess.
That's about keeping egos in check, right? Making sure no one disrupts the team cohesion. It's a behavioral rule, plain and simple.
And the other one, sweep the sheds.
Ah, yeah, that one's fascinating. It's a ritual, really. After a match, even the star players, the leaders, they're the ones cleaning the locker room.
Seriously, the big names.
Yep, it's this powerful symbol. Reinforces that no job is too small, everyone's part of the same team, working for the collective. It shapes that behavior of humility, of shared responsibility.
And the sources connect this directly to that story about the All Blacks' fourth choice fly half. This guy wasn't even in the original World Cup squad in 2011.
Right, he'd apparently deleted the coach's number, gone fishing, total write-off.
Only to get called up last minute because of injuries.
And here's the kicker. Because the culture was so strong, because the system, the shared understanding was there, this guy, the last man in, steps onto the field in the World Cup final
No pressure.
and kicks the winning points. The culture meant he wasn't just filling a gap. He was part of this unit, ready to perform. That's not just individual skill, it's the culture enabling it.
Wow. And there's research backing this up too, right? About different team types.
Yeah, the sources mentioned studies categorizing teams. You have your professionals, your stars, and your committed teams.
And the committed ones consistently do better.
Consistently outperform the others.
Yeah.
It shows it's not just about stacking up individual stars, it's about fostering that collective drive, that shared purpose that turns into committed action.
Okay, so that leads us nicely into how. How do companies actually build this stuff? Disney comes up a lot.
A classic example, yeah.
Yeah.
They're so deliberate with their language, it reinforces that core show culture. Employees aren't employees.
They're cast members.
Yeah.
Crowds are an audience.
Exactly. That language subtly shapes how everyone sees their role and behaves.
And the onboarding sounds intense, not just HR forms.
No way. New hires, even like directors joining corporate, spend their first week actually working in the park.
Doing what?
The source mentions someone training to be the Mary Poppins penguin. Learning the signature, seeing the kids' reactions.
Right, so you're immediately immersed. You feel the core mission. It's behavioral priming from day one.
It's brilliant. And they also actively listen to everyone. Like, hierarchy kind of dissolves when it comes to ideas.
That story about the 18-year-old ride operator.
Yeah. Pointing out an issue with the carriage height that even Walt Disney apparently agreed with. It shows a culture where input is valued, no matter your title. Good ideas can come from anywhere.
And they actually formalized it with Disney University, Van Frans setting that up.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't just training skills. It was specifically for instilling and refining the culture. France even poses a photographer sometimes, just observing guest interactions to see the culture alive.
That level of intentionality, it really contrasts with that negative story in the sources, the remote hire struggling with IT on day one.
Oh, yeah. It just breeds frustration, right?
Okay.
Totally counterproductive to building any kind of positive culture from the get-go.
Then there's Zappos, especially under Tony Tsai. Their whole thing was delivering happiness.
Which meant amazing customer service.
Yeah.
Delivering wow.
That famous story. The director calling Zappos, a shoe retailer, at midnight asking for pizza places.
Yeah. And the rep, after maybe a second of surprise, actually left one up for him. That is, deliver wow through service in action. Way more than a poster could ever convey.
And this feels really key. Zappos didn't just list values. They explicitly linked them to behaviors. What you should do and what you shouldn't.
Absolutely critical. Making abstract ideas concrete. Actionable. Observable.
Disney had something similar, that SCSE framework. Safety, courtesy, show, efficiency.
Right, and everyone knew the order. Safety always comes first, even before the show.
And another company mentioned had a framework. Legal, compliant, team interest, then client interest.
Recognizing that you need a solid, well-functioning team first before you can really serve clients well. These aren't just nice ideas. They're decision-making guides for behavior.
Documenting all this culture stuff like Zappos did.
Yeah.
It seems to have a real immediate effect on how teams behave.
Yeah, and partly because the team often helps create that documentation.
Yeah.
Gives them ownership.
And it clarifies things like how mistakes are handled, are errors hidden.
Or is honesty valued? The sources definitely lean towards honesty being crucial for a healthy, open culture where people learn.
Makes sense. So maintaining this, it takes constant effort, right? Hiring becomes huge.
Totally. Hiring for that culture fit. The sources mentioned Steve Jobs looking for that spark, people whose eyes lit up when they saw the Mac.
Seeing that alignment, that passion, and Google asking interview questions directly tied to their culture principles.
You're checking. Will this person thrive in our way of doing things? You want sponges, right? People eager to soak up the culture.
Not rocks who resist it.
Exactly. And reinforcement isn't just a memo. It's things like a culture book, maybe created with employees. It's linking bonuses or recognition to living the values.
And just constantly making those values visible, repeating them until they actually sink in and become, you know, second nature.
The physical environment, too, plays a bigger role than we might think. Often subconsciously.
Like the Allen curve research, showing how communication just drops off with distance.
Precisely. Which is why Steve Jobs was apparently so obsessed with the Pixar atrium design.
That's central space, right?
Yeah, designed specifically to force collisions, those unplanned chats between people from different teams. He knew that's where ideas spark, relationships build, and culture strengthens. Those informal bonds.
So being physically together generally makes building that dense culture easier, it seems.
Yeah, the sources suggest it's generally better for the spontaneous connections than remote work. Walls, even virtual ones, can be barriers.
But remote work is here to stay, obviously. So how do you build a culture then?
You have to be even more intentional. Deliberately cultivating trust and transparency. Embracing flexibility, but with clear accountability. Like Netflix's focus on goals, not just hours clocked in.
And actively fostering connection somehow.
Yeah, intentional community building, virtual coffees, maybe occasional in-person meetups if possible. Prioritizing well-being is huge when work-life lines blur, making sure learning opportunities are still there.
And just constantly reinforcing the values through digital channels.
Oh, wow.
Over and over.
Mm-hmm. And the sources mentioned tools that can help, you know. Things like Trello or Asana for transparency, Cahoots for fun team stuff, Loom for video messages that feel more personal.
15-5 for check-ins, Miro for collaboration. They're tools to enable the behaviors you need for remote culture.
Exactly. They support the intentionality.
Ultimately, what seems to tie all this together, the All Blacks, Disney, Zappos, remote tools, is this core idea that culture works because it subtly, consistently shapes behavior.
Yeah, think about that psychology experiment, the Florida effect.
Oh, where reading words associated with being old
actually made people walk slower afterwards without realizing it.
Wild. It shows how language, environment, these subtle cues, they influence us.
That's the power of culture. It's this pervasive thing built intentionally through systems, language, rituals, reinforced behaviors.
Yeah.
It shapes how people think and act.
So building and maintaining it isn't passive. It's got to be deliberate, ongoing, touching everything.
Always reinforcing the why and guiding the how.
Defining purpose, articulating values, linking them to behaviors, and then just hammering those messages home consistently.
So given how much our environment, the words we use, can subtly shape us, maybe here's something for you, the listener, to think about from this deep dive.
Yeah.
What are the subtle cues, deliberate or not, in your environment right now? The language, the setup, the unspoken rules?
Yeah.
How might they be shaping your actions or the actions of people around you for better or maybe for worse?